Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. We've got Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams here. And guys, welcome. Good to talk with you. So glad you're with all of us here today.
Good to be here with you, too.
Yeah, I love it.
We've got like 20 inches from each other.
Yeah,
here,
this
Chris.
Isn't exactly the 6 feet.
I know.
That
we need to shuffle to the left or to the right, I think.
You know, September is National Recovery Month. It's also probably National Tree Bark Month and National Groundhog Month. But anyway, it is National Recovery Month. And I'll tell you, it's a great time to get involved with what we're doing. 12 Steps to Happier. That's our life recovery, our workshop, our seminar that we're going to be doing here. Chris and I are part of the cast of characters focusing on the 12 Steps to Happier. And that's online October the 3rd, and you could be part of it. We're really, really looking forward to that. Chris, when you think of 12 steps, mm-hmm. what do you think of?
I think of taking a light, shining it in the dark places, and doing some cleaning so you live in a better space.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. And you know, if people have doubts about the 12 steps, we always talk about you need to work all 12 steps and everything. But let me just tell you about one step that if you just did this one step, you'd have a totally different life. And that's the 10th step where every day we sit back and we kind of go, did I hurt anybody? Did I treat anybody wrong? And then you immediately admit it to that person. Oh, wow, I didn't handle that well. So you're staying current in relationship. I mean, just that one out of 12, and they're all valuable, but that is an amazing principle. Dave Stoop and I say that, you know, we practice these principles in all of our affairs together, and that's why we're still riding together, partnering together after all these years. And if you need some more insight into recovery, come join us for that.
I just want to make one comment. You know, just in talking with those of us that struggle with some type of addiction, you know, it's those resentments, that anger that ends up being, I mean, inside of us, it's like a cesspool.
Yeah.
And we, instead of getting the resentments out or letting things go, we numb out through whatever it is. So this your event really is about how to get to the heart of letting those resentments go so they don't continue to take you down with acting out.
And people mistake oftentimes that's just about the behavior.
Yeah.
But really, we're going to be talking about emotional sobriety. What does it mean to be able to handle our emotions well as these 12 steps lead us into greater feelings, and feelings, as we say, feel and deal with them.
Yeah.
And so that's what opens up the happiness part of us.
Yeah. I love one of the recovery slogans when they talk about not having the luxury to have a resentment because, you know, it isn't about the other person. It's about your own heart being eaten away by bitterness, resentment. And the Bible's so clear to get rid of all of it. And it doesn't say get rid of all of it well, except, you know, in the case like you where this happened. No, all of it. It's just a gift to yourself. I think probably the most powerful health food out there is forgiveness and just letting things go. Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with you. Really glad you've joined us today. We love getting to be here. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can find out about brains, boundaries, battles, and the Bible John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Dr. Amen, Sheila Walsh, and myself, December 5th. You can find out about that at newlife.com and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Sherry Keffer. Intimate Deception is a great book. If you haven't read that and you have been betrayed, deceived by somebody that you just happen to be married to, it would really be a great healing book for you. A gift of any amount will send you the 12 gifts of life recovery. But right now, we're going to go over here and we're going to talk to Michelle, Kalispell, Montana, I believe it is, and listens on the internet. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you. How are you?
Doing all right. How could we help you today? What's going on?
Well, we have an adult son. He's in his 30s. And he, as an adult, was diagnosed with bipolar 1. And we have a relationship with him. It's a little strange because he clearly holds some resentments towards us for different things that he perceives happened in his childhood. And we've tried to talk to him about it. We're told by his wife that he still holds resentments. She's hoping that he would talk to us about it. When we do talk, which is frequently, several times a week, he acts like everything's fine. But he just won't talk about these deep resentments he's holding. I might mention that he has a bit of a distorted view about some of the things that did happen. His memories of things are distorted, not just about us, but about other things too.
So what's the question for us? How could we help you with this?
Okay. Thank you for listening to history. So we want to know, how much do we press to resolve this, to give him opportunities? How do you go about giving a person an opportunity to share with you what they're holding on to?
Okay.
And with the bipolar 1, how much do you press? He's okay. Doing pretty well, I have to say. He manages
Michelle,
it well.
So I'm going to tell you what I think would be a way to make it better. Then Chris and Sherry are going to tell you how to make it go away. But no, they'll go deeper. but here's what I would do. His wife, your daughter-in-law, came to you and said he has these resentments toward you, right?
Yes.
That's how you know. So here's what I would be doing.
Well, we could feel it.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Here's what I'd be doing. I would go back to her and say, you know, I talked to a professional about this, and here's what this professional said. It is every son's job to get over his mother. If his mother was great, he has to get over that because his wife is not going to be that great. If he didn't like his mother, he has to get over that, or he's going to take it out on his wife. He has to get over his mother. Now, the second thing is, I would say to her, help him to get over whatever it was, because guess what? It isn't helping him. It isn't resolving anything. And he's making his life and your life miserable. The more you encourage him to get over me, the more you're going to experience the guy you married and have the kind of relationship that you want and need. That's just my take on this as how I would handle it since she came to you. But Chris, Sherry, what are you guys thinking would be a good way for her to go at this point?
Hey, Michelle, have you ever been angry at somebody and tried to talk with them through that, and they told you where you were off or wrong about your anger or your experience?
Yes.
What was that like for you?
I have to accept that their version is different than mine, but I try to work through it with them. But
good.
It's never never great. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you say your son has a distorted memory, and I actually believe you, I think he probably has some, maybe the facts and some of the perceptions are off. However, you said something in what you're saying is like, man, he has this distortion and kind of getting hijacked also into his bipolar 1 condition. And again, I'm not saying that that's not all true, but the starting place of being a safe person for your son to open up to you is to really, instead of him getting it right, he just simply needs to be heard. And he needs to know that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. And so, and in that, just talking through that, the differences aren't one's right and one's wrong. They're just different. But most importantly, you want to move into what he, you know, what his resentment or anger is towards you, how to heal that out, and then how to move forward.
I think one of the greatest gifts, Michelle, a parent can give a child is empathy. Because empathy is actually suspending judgment. In order to have some empathy for somebody else, you have to completely suspend judgment. So the idea of distortions, I'm hearing you, and yet you've not had to live on the other side of him. Like he's had to live on the other side of you. And I know this, it's so tough to work with kids and young adults that have bipolar disorder. The bipolarity, they come into the world with bipolarity. Mm-hmm. They are harder kids to soothe. Mm-hmm. They are, I don't know if he was like that when he was little, but the families that I work with bipolar, you know, young adults, when I go back in history and I talk about what it was like to hold them, were you able to soothe them? Were they, you know, did they kind of have these places of going up and down when they were young? Did you feel like you could ever do it right? Did they have challenges in school? These things are a part of their history. And so on the other side of them, it's easy to kind of look at them and go, gosh, they were tough, and they're still tough. But imagine something taking you over. And it's taken over your brain. You get up in the morning and some days you're good and some days you're not. And you cannot plan on that. And so they feel feel unheld well. They don't feel like they've been held well. Not that it's your fault. I could have put your son in any family. I could have picked 20 families. And you know what? The mom would be going, it was tough, man.
Yeah.
And so he needs to have you own what it was like for him not to be held well, even though you did your absolute best. You just have to peel back the guilt because you did the best you could do. But that brain is a hard brain to settle into. So you've been on kind of a wild ride with him. But hearing that can help him heal.
So what do you think?
And I would love to have that opportunity to tell him that. Interestingly enough, he wasn't a difficult child, and he had a social difficulty and a lot of illnesses growing up. It was as an adult that it really went and got into college that it began to manifest itself and show itself. And I have no problem with being an empathetic listener, and I have actually apologized. My husband and I both have apologized for him for the pain that he experienced. It is a challenge when they're telling you, but you did this, 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 and this, and none of that is true. But I can tell, I always tell him, I'm so sorry for how that came off to you. That was never our intention. We try to come,
but you're defending
with empathy.
I know, but you're already defending. So this is what you say. Let me help you just a little bit.
Okay.
You say, so instead of defending that didn't happen, because then he's not going to be heard, you just cut off comfort. You say this, oh, wow. Can you tell me where we were at when that happened? I really want to hear you. Can you take me back to that point? And then listen, it doesn't indict you. You can still completely hold a different opinion, but at least let him take you back to the story.
Mm-hmm.
You're not guilty.
I think that's fantastic.
Good. I like
advice.
That.
All right. Yeah, so I hope and pray something we've said here has been really good. And we've got a book called Understanding and Loving Your Someone Who Has Bipolar Disorder. And I'm going to send that to you. I think it's going to be so helpful. Anybody else living with someone with bipolar disorder, that's one of the book in the Understanding and Loving series. Really powerful series. And, you know, there's borderline personality disorder, chemical dependency, sexual addiction, all of those are included in that series. So would hope and pray that you could access that. Now, let's go and talk with, how about we talk with Ben, Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Ben, Sirius XM is where he listens to us. How are you today?
I'm good.
Doing well? Okay. You cut out there, so I'm going to hope that that self-corrects. How could we help today?
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
Sure. So for several years, I had gotten into a lot of horrible sexual sin, a lot of addiction. And out of that, I ended up having an affair. My first marriage ended in divorce.
Hmm.
I remarried with the person I actually had the affair with. And God has been doing a lot of work in my life, getting rid of a lot of the other sin and overcoming those addictions. But lately I have just been feeling questioned about my new marriage and whether or not it's biblical. And I know there's a lot of great authors out there and preachers and pastors who, you know, seem to affirm that I'm not living in adultery in my new marriage, but then I read other things that seem to have biblical support that I may be, and it's just kind of soul crushing at this point. And
so what is the question for us? What's the question you're asking us then?
Sure. I guess essentially is my new marriage, is it an adulterous in adultery?
Yeah. Okay. Well, there are, as you say, two schools of thought. One is that as long as you're in that marriage, because of the way it started, that you're living in adultery. Another thought is that Christ wanted us to realize that. Wanted us to realize if you married somebody that wasn't qualified or free to remarry, he wanted you to realize that union was unholy or it wasn't acceptable. Then once you see it, now what do we do? Is that the unpardonable sin? Can I not be forgiven? Then you need to repent. You need to confess it. You need to own it. And then you pick up your life. You accept Christ's forgiveness for your sin. And then you love this other person the way Christ has loved you. You give mercy to this person and grace the way Christ has given it to you. Those are the two different ways to look at it. Let's hear what Chris has to say, and then you, Sherry.
Yeah, well, Ben, I don't know if I can speak too deeply into, are you currently living in sin and what do you do about that? Because I don't think that, for instance, divorcing the wife that you're with is the answer, obviously.
Right.
But I will say this. What Steve is referring to is that you're waking up to how this thing inside of you, the sexual brokenness inside of you, has acted itself out and caused a lot of harm, first for you and everyone around you. And so there's no substitute for doing the work to looking at those places, looking at the behavior and the relational patterns and the way that it acts out sexually, and going to work on healing and leaving behind those and working on your current relationship as well as making amends for those you have hurt in the past.
And I have a thought, Ben, and I don't know how close this hits the mark, but it's interesting to me that you're asking the question, because I'm wondering if this sexual acting out that has been a part of your life, and thank you for being so vulnerable for us, but that sexual acting out and the brain that wags that, you know, it's slippery. It's a tricky brain, and it wants to make whatever relationship you're with not okay. So whatever happened with your wife, you made those, you know, self-deceptions, you had an affair, and now you're with her, the one you're with, but now all of a sudden she has a problem because she's the affair partner, and it's going to keep you out of intimacy.
We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking with Ben here. Anything else we want to share with Ben? I'll say this. Ben, have you done anything about recovering from that problem that led you into this relationship?
All as I can say, it was a lot of anguish, a lot of prayer, a lot of heartbreak, and just finally getting over all the excuses that I kept giving myself for making my behavior okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so what I would do, So I would get into a recovery program, because a lot of times the only thing a person does to help their addiction to all these things you're involved with is they marry the person they had an affair with, and that's not a very good treatment program for it. All these other guys, they've stepped up and they've said, I need some help here. It's not just me being spiritual now. I've got to build some character. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and a copy of the Sexual Addiction Workbook or Sexual Integrity Workbook, and I think that's going to help you. Chris, you have a comment.
Well, I was just going to encourage Ben to really, really pay attention to what Sherry was saying there. It's that there is an established pattern.
Yeah.
And that it's really important to understand that the sexual addiction or that brokenness that shows up is really about, at the end of the day, intimacy or how we connect or don't connect. And so the more we act out, the more that real people become a problem. And so they're just in the way. And so right now his current wife feels like she's just in the way. She also probably shows up and reminds him of his shame over and over.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back. He needs to do the work to go back historically to see how that pattern showed up early and often. And Ben, there's just one more thing. You've done a lot of good work on ownership, but I want you to continue to get into good therapy, and good help that specializes in this area to show you where you're missing out relationally.
You just, Ben, I want to encourage your heart. I love your vulnerability with us. I was married to a gentleman like yourself that had an affair and struggled with sexual acting out. And he ended up marrying his affair partner. And after he'd been married for a bit, he had called me. He reached out to me and said, hey, how are you doing? And I asked, I said, does your wife, I'll use the name Janelle, does Janelle know that you're calling me? And he said, no. And I said, well, you're doing the same to Janelle that you did to me. But at that point, he had not gone through deeper recovery for the sexual acting out. He was still acting out. And so it didn't matter who he married. The problem was inside of him. And I just... We care about you here. We'd love to get you to Every Man's Battle. We'd love to help you get to a deeper place of healing, mm-hmm. so this doesn't have to follow you, or you don't have to lose another relationship through it.
It really is important, and I just the humble spirit that you have and wanting to do the right thing. I think without recovery, you're just not aware of certain things, but your heart, you're wanting the right thing, and so. I'll send you this workbook. I'm going to encourage you to go to Every Man's Battle and encourage you to get involved in an ongoing group. All right? Okay, let's. How about we go to Kelly? She's calling from Dallas, Texas. Hi, Kelly. How are you? And how's that Lone Star State down there?
It's doing well. We're getting rain right now, what we needed.
Good. All right. Well, how can we help today?
Well, first, I want to thank you for taking my call, and this is just going to be right out there. Does a wife have to give her husband oral sex if she doesn't feel comfortable with it?
Well, that is just right out there. It certainly is. And has this been a request? Has this been forced upon you? What's the situation there?
They're more requests.
Yeah. Well,
and, you know, it's just uncomfortable and, you know, all that.
Yeah, okay. So here's what we teach. And we teach this at our Intimacy in Marriage. We teach this, the book Every Man's Battle. But there are a certain amount of sexual behaviors that a woman finds acceptable. And let's put those in a box. And then there are a certain amount of sexual behaviors that a man finds acceptable. Let's put those in a really big box. And the only thing that's acceptable are where those boxes overlap. We have a subset now, both mutually acceptable. Does that mean it has to stay that way forever? No. If there is understanding, gentleness, love, then that might expand. But to force or ask somebody to do something they're not comfortable with, it's then that makes that sexual situation all about me and what I want, not about us and what we can do for each other. Sherry, you have a PhD. Now, this is a PhD level question here. What do you think?
I love handling these sessions in my office when we're talking about healthy sexuality. What does that look like? And I think a lot of times, and I feel really bad for guys in the porn industry and the way that they talk about sex when they're growing up as young boys in locker rooms. They've got this idealized fantasy about what they think the ultimate sex act is, and they hold that up to a very high standard. And so when their wives don't feel comfortable, in this case, you know, you having oral sex, it's like they have a hard time laying it down because that feels like the Super Bowl thing. And it's really not. There's so many different things you can do to explore healthy sexuality that you both love doing together.
Yeah, you can reduce it to an act.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. All right, Sherry, what else do you want to say? Chris, what else do we want to say about a very difficult, difficult thing for so many folks there? What do you
think? Well, I think like a lot of what we do is we dig behind the scenes, and behind there's a lot going on behind the request, and there's a lot going on behind this. But one of the things I think is really important is that when we become objectified, we become less sexual. And this sounds really strange, but what I mean by that is sex is to engage the whole person, including their values, their dignity, their sanctity. And so to violate those values and to violate that sanctity, it dehumanizes the experience. And I think also, as Sherry was saying, that men tend to have these fantasies. I think some women struggle with that too, obviously. But we mistake intensity for intimacy. And so when we get hardwired towards, you know, a sexual experience and get ramped up around that, what we typically are pursuing, again, is the intensity of the experience, not the intimacy of the connection.
And a lot of times what I've seen with women is in the porn industry, there's all these things they watch, right? And so they want their wife to reenact that. They want her to walk around in high heel shoes or do things. And I won't give you all the details, but it's really about a reenactment, which makes her an object instead of a person mm-hmm. that she feels fully engaged in. I mean, if that's something she would love to do, then great. But if she feels forced or coerced or pressured, kind of bullied into that because of what's been seen on porn videos, it's hurtful to the marriage.
Well, not only that, but if a wife is not comfortable with that and you're demanding that, then you're causing her or wanting her to do something that's demeaning to mm-hmm. her. And that is a sick view of sexual pleasure and what sexual intimacy is. So I would encourage both of you to get in that intimacy in marriage mm-hmm. intensive. Yeah. I think it could really, really help you a lot there. And I'm going to I'll send you How We Love. I think that'll be a great help to you also. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We want to help you. We've got a lot of things that can help you. And we need your help. And we'll have Larry talk to us about how somebody with a heart of gold could help this ministry. Larry, what do you have for us?
Well, Steve, I've been thinking too often I come in here and it's testimony and a sales job, I feel like. And I find myself in a selling mode. And I want to talk about Club New Life in that regard. We'll tell people this is what you get. You get a great thank you gift. You get a video library. You get all these other benefits. And it's what we're going to get you, so you'll give something to us. And we find ourselves telling you what's in it for you. And we leave off the most important thing, I think. And that is, what do you think the act of giving does for you? There's a satisfaction of giving, of helping others who are struggling, hurting, and confused. And your monthly support makes the help we offer available. We can continue in this wonderful ministry that God honors and enables because of your gifts. The satisfaction of being part of something bigger than yourself. You're part of a giving family that keeps the ministry going, offering all we offer month after month. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:11, you'll be enriched in every way for your great generosity. And that enrichment doesn't mean financial gain, but emotionally and spiritually, you'll be enriched. And sometimes you have to give to understand what that means. So it's a little bit of a challenge to you if you don't believe that you'll be enriched by giving. Try it and see what happens.
Well, and I want to add one more thing to that. It's really about what the giving does for somebody else.
Absolutely.
We recently had a woman who actually was going to take her life. She had called in the call center and was suicidal. And through the conversations, she had several conversations with our staff, got into good care, and she actually wrote you a little letter saying, hey, I'm here because mm-hmm. of New Life. So it's really about what you're going to do for that person that really needs the help by us staying on the air and being a resource every day.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. When you give money to New Life, we're meeting on the common ground. That common ground is God's love and his ability to change lives. And so we just seek your support. And I want you to think about that as you consider joining Club New Life.
Amen. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, we're going to use it to help others. Same number if you need some help. There's nothing more wonderful for me to see these folks that they go to a workshop and they're so grateful, and then they turn out, they want to help other people, they turn right around and become part of the giving family. I just hope that you'll do that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go back to the phones. Beth from Omaha, Nebraska, listens on the internet. Hi, Beth, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you. Love your guys' show through the years.
Thank you. How could we help you today?
Yeah, I'm just calling about just some advice for a family situation. I'll try to condense this here. Basically, I have a brother who is 39, and he's still living at home. So he dropped out of college, like 21.
How long has he been living at home?
since he was 21.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And now he's 39.
Okay.
So parents obviously didn't set boundaries, didn't get any counseling or help. My dad recently passed this past December, so now it's just my mom. And so my brother has not worked for the last 5 years. Dad was going through cancer, that sort of thing. Has increased verbal aggression, social anxiety, OCD, doesn't listen to my mom. So we're just trying to, she's grieving. We're trying to, I have three sisters and one lives at home. She's late 40s, moved back maybe 3 years ago from out of state for a hip surgery, still there. But I just have concerns. We're trying to figure out how can we support my mom and care about my brother. I don't trust him, and I'm concerned about her safety.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, let's start with you, Chris. What are you thinking when you hear of a really sad situation like this?
It really is a sad situation, and I think – you know, your brother's getting all the attention as far as the problem goes. And I think that he does need to get into help. And I think that that should be a condition of him continuing to stay in our home. But the real person that needs help is your mom right now.
Yeah.
One, to grieve, and then to really start addressing her fears and her concerns. And maybe even there might be some mom guilt there around her son that keeps him hooked into her and her hooked into him. And so he has this failure to launch, or definitely what we call learned helplessness. And if you're in that place of learned helplessness, you get into a hopeless place, frustrated. You see 39-year-old men around you that are advancing in their life and families and careers, and you're stuck, and then that resentment and anger builds and builds and builds and builds, and it will act out on the people nearest him, the people who happen to be in the way. And so he needs help, but your mom needs a much stronger support internally and externally to set boundaries with him and to create a plan for her safety and health moving forward, as well as your brother's, to put it quite honestly, help to grow up.
Sherry, what are your thoughts here?
Do you live near her?
I live in the same city, yeah.
Okay, you know what? How old is she?
She is 73.
You know what I would do? I would make an appointment with my mom at one of the New Life counselors near you. And I would begin a dialogue with her, with a counselor in the room that can actually help to have this conversation, calling her in to looking at her enabling. And it's mm-hmm. and so you won't feel alone. Right? You're going to have an ally,
right,
an advocate, because you're going into kind of like couples counseling, husbands and wife going. This is like
sure.
mom-daughter couple counseling, right?
Sure.
Because
sure.
she's got some issues and she probably won't address them. She won't go by herself, mm-hmm. but you can go week to week right. to week with her. Don't feel like you're the bad one in the family. Feel like you're the truth teller. You're the one that's mm-hmm. going to help her change. In my office, I have a baby mobile. It's a, you know, one that uh-huh. hangs over the crib. I don't have a crib in my office, but I do have a baby mobile. It's got four monkeys that hang down. And when uh-huh. I'm having conversations like this with someone like you, Beth, I hold up the baby mobile and I said, all it takes is one monkey to start jumping on the bed. And I basically pull that monkey down and everybody else on the mobile starts moving. But you're that one monkey that's going to begin to make a change in your home.
Yeah.
And so you can do it, girl. Just get in to see somebody.
You sure
her.
Can. Yeah. All right. You hold
I
on.
Sure
I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you this book, Take Your Life Back. I think it'll help you and help your mom. You can give it to her. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We want to help you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I just want to say this about when kids move back home and it's at age 22, and it's not getting better at age 24. You have to change psychiatrists, you have to change therapists, you have to change medical doctors. You have to change so that we get better. We move toward better. Now, are there cases where better is not possible? Absolutely. But you want to explore everything possible at age 23 and 24, or you end up at age 32 in, as Chris was saying, this learned helplessness state. And it's really sad, and we hate to see it. So don't enable someone to kind of fall back into this learned helplessness at a time where maybe there's something that working with the right professional and you can get to better.
Yes.
That's what we want.
Steve, I want to give away a hack here. Here's a free bit of information. When you see a person in their 20s, it doesn't have to be their 20s, but we'll go with this. Especially you see a young male in his 20s avoiding putting himself out there and seeking comfort. Always what kind of the road of least resistance, always comfort. On the backside of that is fear.
Yes.
You have to go after the fear. And he will not move on the other side of life and start taking control of his life and making progress until that fear is addressed, because that's the thing that's keeping him frozen and seeking comfort over and over again.
Mm. And you just don't want to be the enabler of the child being stuck in that fear there.
Yeah, you just keep the fear going.
Right. All right, I want to go to Lynn from Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. Hello, Lynn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. How can we help?
My husband has CTE. He has dementia for the last 12 years, and I've been married 34 years. And it's the relationship is abusive, not physical, but verbally. And I don't know if I can stay in it. And I'm in counseling, but I'm afraid it could turn physical.
Okay. So what's the question for us?
My question is, do you think I should leave if I, because I'm not happy, and I cannot take the abuse anymore. Mm-hmm. I cannot take the name calling and the degrading. And his personality has changed because of the head trauma.
Leaving, you want to be safe, of course. That's the first priority. Is we want you to take care of yourself and be safe. Leaving is an option, but I would sure, for his sake and yours, want to pursue every other option possible before I picked that one. Now, who is working with him on his CTE, but brain trauma? Who's working with him?
Well, he has seen three neurologists, and what happens is now he's pretty much got, he's either got the second or third stage. There's four stages of CTE. Mm-hmm. Now he's at the point of the dementia where he cannot remember a conversation now. So therapy, I don't know if it would work.
Okay. So I just think that, you know, like Dr. Amon is on here. He's a brain specialist. He has a clinic near you. I would want him to go there. But it doesn't, I mean, if you leave him, it sounds like he's not going to be able to even take care of himself. And so I just wonder if it's that bad, the option would be trying to find a place for him to get the care he needs. Chris, Sherry, what are you guys thinking about this? Pretty sad situation.
I think it's so sad. I'm so sorry, Lynn. I think you have done an amazing job of caring for him. And it's really hard to have our spouses disintegrate, right? They're brain go away, and then for them to be more aggressive. That's the place I went, Steve. A lot of times spouses have guilt about transitioning their loved one into a care facility.
Yeah, right.
Because we feel like somehow we're, I don't know, breaking code with God, or we're giving up on them, or we need to just hang in there. But there are places that are really suited for dementia, and they've got caretakers, they've got people come in that do exercises and support groups, and I don't know, that I would be exploring that with you.
And and sometimes you need the a psychiatrist to declare, okay, this person is no longer able to function without hurting themselves or hurting someone else. They need this different level of care. And maybe it's the psychiatrist that can do that for you.
There are people that have their full-time job is helping people just like yourself make choices about how to transition their loved one. And so if you go online and look around for help with dementia, transitioning my loved one, there'll be people that they have conversations, come to your home, do an assessment. It's a full-service thing.
Yeah. Chris, any thought you want to add to that?
I was going to say, Lynn, we're 3-for-3 on this one. He's dealing with a very, very serious medical condition that needs help that is beyond you. And so where Steve went was where I was going in my mind of like, he may need a higher level of care that's not included in staying in your home 24/7.
All right. I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Amon's book, The End of Mental Illness, and I think it's going to give you some great insight into what is going on with your husband, and maybe that will lead you to getting some help from Dr. Amon or one of the psychiatrists on his team. There are 4 B's in the title, Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible. Dr. Daniel Amon, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Sheila Walsh, and myself are going to do this amazing intensive on December the 5th. You can sign up now. Don't miss this. I don't think we'll ever get a chance to do something like this again. I would encourage you to join Chris, myself, for the 12 Steps to Happier. It's the Life Recovery Conference that's online October the 3rd. And Every Man's Battle, there's the workshop online October the 10th. Intimacy in Marriage, guess what? It's online October the 24th. All of that, and therapists and resources and things for you when you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have not yet been able to figure out who has a problem so that we could call you. You'll have to call us until we figure that out. But look, if you need some help, don't be stuck and just say, I just can't call. It would just be such a sign of weakness or whatever. Just call. And it's confidential, and let's see if we could help you. Maybe, just maybe, you could get out of the world and the land of almost by making a phone call. Almost well. Almost living the life God called you to be. What a horrible thing to always almost be there. A phone call can change everything. Don't forget, Dr. Sherry Keffer has a book, Intimate Deception. And if you're a woman who has been deceived, as she was, I mean, she's not just a PhD psychologist. She is someone who's been through this. She understands what you've been through, and so much insight. So many people have been helped by this book. And Chris Williams, well, he's working on his, and we shame him all the time to try to get him to finish that thing up. Anyway, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll see you Thursday. Life Recovery Today on the NRB Network, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for listening. God bless you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number I hope you're going to call.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.